This will be Luke 13:31 through 35. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox I will drive out demons and heal people today, and tomorrow and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who will kill the prophets and the stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. Look, your house is left to your desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'"
During the season of Lent, we follow Jesus on his final journey, that would lead him back to Jerusalem to complete his task. What was the task of Jesus? I'll give you a hint. My answer is not even found in the Gospels. It's in one sentence in the letters of Paul. God was in Christ reconciling. Reconciling the world to God's own self. Jesus' job description was to reconcile the creation to the Creator. In today's passage, some Pharisees are bringing Jesus a warning. Wait a minute. I thought that the Pharisees didn't like Jesus. Remember how he got on, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees"? I didn't think any Pharisees followed Jesus. But here was a group of Pharisees giving him warning, not in a mean way, but in, "You better look out." I tell you, God's love that Jesus made real affected all sorts of people. A centurion, a woman caught in adultery, a height-challenged tax collector who climbed a tree to get a better look, his own 12, if there ever was a, you know, I kid with us here that we are all a merry band of misfits. The original 12 misfits were those, weren't they? What a motley crew he surrounded himself with. Jesus attracted people from every walk of life. He ate in the home of rich people. He ate in the home of people who could barely provide a meal for him. That was as true in the first century as for us today. Jesus does not care who you are, where you come from, your means, your lineage, none of that matters. All that matters is that you are willing to be reconciled, creation to Creator. And what does that mean to be reconciled? It literally means to be brought into fellowship, doesn't it? When we talk about the fellowship of the church, we are talking about obeying the command of Jesus to love each other as I have loved you. The Pharisees came to Jesus and they told him to get out of town. Head for the hills, Herod's looking for you. By that time, the word was out. Herod's coming to get you. Why is that? Why was Herod so anxious to trap, convict, and kill this Jesus? What was going on here? It was that dangerous nexus from the beginning of civilization when religion and politics bounce up against each other, right? Religion and politics have been in a wrestling match over the minds and hearts of people from the get-go. But if you think about it, sometimes religion sounds political, and sometimes politics, at least it's said with a religious fervor, it sounds like religion. What was Jesus' answer to them? I like that. Tell Herod, no thank you. No, he said, tell that fox for me. I'm coming to Jerusalem, get ready. This is not the meek and mild Jesus that we sing about, is it? This isn't that pale-faced Jesus with the blonde hair holding a sheep with a beatific smile on his face. This is the take names and kick Jesus. Tell that fox I'm coming to Jerusalem. This is the angry, sick'em Jesus. Then Jesus laments, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets and stoning those who are sent to you. What did prophets do? Prophesy, right? Yeah. And what was that generally about? And who did they generally prophesy to? The rulers. They generally, and the current phrase is, they generally spoke truth to power, didn't they? And it didn't go well for some of the prophets. That's why I believe that political power has always attempted to co-opt religion at some level. Think about it. Hasn't that always been the case? That the king or the emperor always wanted the church or the temple on his side. That's why our nation's founders, in a stroke of genius, put that First Amendment into the Bill of Rights. And what does that say? What's the First Amendment? Yeah, that's what we call the separation. You make no laws regarding the free exercise of religion thereof. And you can say pretty much what you want to say until it resembles yelling fire in a crowded theater. Martin Luther King, a prophet of our times, and when I'm saying our times, you had to have been paying attention in the 60s. Our time spoke truth to power on the steps of the Washington Monument, and what happened to him shortly after then, before he was assassinated, he got investigated by the FBI. Religion makes politics nervous. Again, Jesus lamented, I sought to gather you to me as a mother hen gathers her brood. You've seen when a chicken spreads out her wings and gathers her baby chicks around her. I was in the chicken business with my grandfather when I was on the farm. It wasn't pretty. That's another story for another day. I sought to gather you, but you would not come. The people paid attention for a while, but in the end, they left him in the lurch, didn't they? Even his closest followers. What if the people and Herod's government and Rome had accepted Jesus' message of love for one another, care for one another, the worth of each person, the radical generosity that Jesus called for, the forgiveness that he demanded and lived out? What if? Each new generation has the opportunity. It is our turn. It is our turn to live out the song, "Let there be peace on earth," and let it begin right here. Well, those aren't the lyrics, but you get it. Will we be that generation? And when I say we be that generation, I'm really talking to the, let's see, honey, how many generations we got now in our family? Yeah, we got four. Yeah, I'm really talking to the four generations right now. Will we be those generations that finally get it right? Jesus told those around him that day, "And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Easter is coming. Amen.